rendere mo corondara ma cacete rendere mo cosciunda io mo corondara ma cacete mo corondara ma cacete mo cotunda io mo cosciunda Carretendere mo corondere ma cascindere mo corondere ma cascinde Candere mo corondere mo cascindere mo corondere mo cascinde Eiro mo corondere ma cascindere mo cotonda Alleluia Eiro mo corondere mo cascindere mo cotonda Carretendere mo corondere ma cascitere mo corondere ma cascitere mo cotonda Ira makarondere makorondere makashikire makotundere makashanti. Ira makorondere makorondere makoshikindere makorondere makashikike turondere makoshanda. Inkaro makorondere makorondere makashikire makorondere makotunda. Indere mo corondere ma cascire mo cotondere ma cascanda. Eiro mo corondere, inchere mo cuscendere mo corondere mo cotonda. Eiro mo corondere, mo corondere, mo corondere ma cuscanda. Eiro mo corondere, mo Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let us pray. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord. Alleluia, holy, 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 holy. Holy is the Lord, mighty is the Lord, mighty, 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 mighty is the Lord, hallelujah, mighty. Mighty, 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 mighty is the Lord, Jesus is the Lord, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus is the Lord, hallelujah, Jesus, 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 Jesus is the Lord. Eternal Rock of Ages, we worship you. Ancient of Days, we bow before you. The unchangeable changer, glory be to your holy name. Please accept our worship in Jesus' name. From the bottom of our hearts, we want to thank you for all you've already done during this very, very unique convention. We're asking Lord God Almighty that tonight you will do much more than we dare hope for. We pray that you will save souls, that you will heal the sick, that you will set captives free. My Father, my God, we pray that you will change sorrow to joy tonight. that in your own miraculous way, you will visit everyone listening to us now in Jesus' name. And Father, we are committing your children born in the month of August into your hands. August is the 8th month of the year, and 8 is the number of a new beginning. All these your children, my Father and my God, let them have a brand new beginning. Amen. A new beginning of joy. Amen. A new beginning of success. Amen. A new beginning of progress. Amen. A new beginning of victory. Amen. A new beginning of anointing. Amen. A new beginning of a closer walk with you. Amen. Let every one of them have new testimonies. And by the time this program is over, my Father and my God, let your name be glorified like never before. Amen. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. 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 Well, let someone shout a great hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Please be seated. As you know, this is a very, very special convention indeed. But for the lockdown, et cetera, because there's just no way we can maintain any social distancing in a crowd of more than 2 million. That's why we decided that, well, this year, let's have our convention online. The next thing we would have done now would have been to ask those who got their babies, who came barren the previous convention, and are now here with their babies, to bring them forward for prayers. But wherever they are at home, I want you to lay your mighty hands on them. And I promise you that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, God himself will touch these children.
Amen.
And bless them specially.
Amen.
And our joy over them will last forever.
Amen.
Whenever the opportunity comes for us to gather again together, we'll probably ask you to bring the children so that we can rejoice with you as we dedicate them to the Lord. In September, by the grace of God, the Holy Ghost service will be for those who are trusting God for the fruit of the womb. And the theme will be Let There Be Light, Part 8. The Almighty God is going to shine his light into wombs.
Amen.
And bring about a great revival so that many, many wombs that have been closed will be forced open.
Amen.
So by September, make sure you contact all your friends and relatives who are trusting God for the fruit of the womb, so that they can join us for the Holy Ghost service of September, and the theme will be Let There Be Light, Part 8. Now, the theme of our convention, as you know very well, is wonderful. And this is the Holy Ghost night, a very, very special night indeed. And the Lord has done something very special. While I was waiting on him, he gave me words of prophecy, even ahead of tonight. Many words. There were so many that I had to ask for permission to write them down. So I wrote them down, and I will deliver all of them to you at the end of the message. So, focus on the sermon, because the sermon itself is not going to be just a sermon, it's going to be a very thorough Bible study. Just get ready for the Bible study. At the end of the Bible study, I will give you all the words. The words of knowledge, the words of prophecy that God had given to me. I got his permission to write them all down and read them to you at the end of the show. And then you will have a lot of prayer points. Because let me assure you, my beloved, there has never been a night like this in your life. My prayer, of course, is that there be greater nights in the future. Because God is always reserving the best in the last. But as of up to today, there has never been a night like this in your life. Our text will be Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It's a passage that I'm sure you hear people refer to around Christmas, which is a very good idea. Christmas is the period made for joy. And that God has chosen this text for us tonight means, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, your joy begins.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What is the first name given to him here? It is Wonderful. Now the word wonderful, as I'm sure some of you probably have heard me teach in the past, is a combination of two words, wonder and full. So wonderful means full of wonders. Now you don't have to be told that everything about God is wonderful. Everything about God is wonderful. His works are wonderful. According to Psalm 107, verse 8. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that man will praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Wonderful works. His testimonies are wonderful. And I'm sure you can testify to that. When you consider all the great things he had done in our lives, and you consider all the testimonies you have heard in the past, you can only say one thing: wonderful. And you know what? Your own testimony will also be wonderful.
Yeah.
Psalm 119, verse 129. Psalm 119, verse 129. Wonderful are his testimonies. His knowledge? Oh, wonderful. Psalm 139, verse 6. Psalm 139, verse 6 tells us, he knows our sitting down, our standing up, our sleeping down, our waking up. He knows everything about us. His knowledge is too wonderful. That's why we will gather together in millions, and all of a sudden, God will just pick your case among so many. And he will give in details what and what and what you have been going through and tell you the solution. Wonderful knowledge. Is counsel wonderful? Isaiah chapter 28, verse 29. Isaiah 28, verse 29. It says, wonderful is counsel You can never find a greater or better advisor than the Almighty God. When he gives you advice, oh, it will be wonderful. But tonight, I just want to focus on seven things about him that are wonderful. I'm choosing only seven because seven is the perfect number. Number one, let us talk about the wonders of his size. The size of the Almighty God. I'm sure there's only one way to describe his size, and that is wonderful. For example, how long are his legs? Isaiah 66 verse 1. Isaiah 66 verse 1 tells us that he's sitting down in heaven and his leg reaches the earth. These legs must be wonderful. What about his hands? How big? How long? Deuteronomy 33 verse 27. Deuteronomy 33 verse 27 calls his arms everlasting. That means it has no end. The arms are just, they just keep going. How big is he himself put together? Now you have a rough idea about how long his legs are, about how wide his arms are. Second Chronicles chapter 6 verse 18. Second Chronicles chapter 16 verse 18 says, the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. That's how big he is. The heaven of heavens. You know, Paul told us about a third heaven. That means there's heaven one, heaven two, heaven three. Now, the Bible now is saying the heaven of heavens cannot contain our God. Oh, I forgot to tell you about the size of his nose. Because we can't, when we're talking about his size, we don't want to consider the size of his head, but consider the size of his nose. Exodus 15 verse 8. Exodus 15 verse 8 says, when he breathes, the sea parted. That tells you that must be quite a nose. That will just breathe and the sea will just get out of the way. Oh, do I want to talk about his ears? The Bible tells us that all ye that hears prayers, unto thee shall all flesh come. Do you know what that means? His ears are so large, he can hear the prayers of everybody at the same time. He's very big. My God is very, very big. One of my daughters sang a song in Yoruba. It's very difficult to translate into English. But it says, bang, 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 ba. Kabiti, kabiti. That's just struggling to find a word to describe how big our God is. But do you know the greatest wonder of it all? Concerning his size, is that he can make himself small enough to dwell in you. As big as he is, he can reduce himself to a small size so he can dwell in you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So he comes in, he squeezes himself to a very small size so he can dwell in you, but he does not lose his greatness at the same time. And what does that mean? One big good news is bigger than coronavirus. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That should give you joy, that should give you security, that should give you peace of mind. You probably heard the testimony of one traditional ruler who was reigning for a long time, and some people felt that when will this man die so that we too can become king? And so they decided that well, they knew what to do according to the tradition of the town. The traditional ruler must not see a particular masquerade. The day he sees a particular masquerade, he will die. So they knew the way he normally would take when going out. And they arranged, they conspired, and they brought out that terrible masquerade that he must not see. And they were dancing and singing while he was coming. He drove past them and laughed because he had given his life to Jesus Christ. He said, "You are wasting your time. Greater is he that is in me than any masquerade." Yeah. I'm assuring somebody here today, it doesn't matter all the forces gathered against you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if you believe that, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Number two, let's talk about the wonders of his love. In 1 John chapter 4 verse 8, 1 John chapter 4 verse 8, the Bible calls him love. Not that he's loving, he is love himself. And what kind of love is he? The love that is willing to give his all. John chapter 3 verse 16. John 3 verse 16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son. No, even when Jesus Christ was teaching us human beings on the issue of love and giving, he said, if you have two coats, give out one. He didn't say give all the good, give out both of them. But the Almighty God is an all giving love. I'm praying that you will get so close to him that he will ask you on one occasion to give all you have, just like him. And you'll be amazed how he will respond. In Romans chapter 8 verse 32, Romans chapter 8 verse 32, he said in his word, having given you his only begotten son, what else can you ask for that he won't give to you? What else? We see how great this love is. According to the Bible in Romans chapter 5 from verse 7 to 8, Romans 5 from verse 7 to 8, he said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, he loved us so much that he sacrificed his son for us even while we were yet sinners. And in John 15 verse 13, John 15 verse 13, Jesus Christ said, greater love than this has no man, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Great love. Sacrificial love. And you know what? In John chapter 13 verse 1, John 13 verse 1, he says, in loving his own, he loved them to the end. Enduring love. Oh, there are people who are calling you my friend now. Many of them are calling you friend because of what they can get from you. If situations change, hey, you will then discover there's only one friend left, and that's Jesus Christ. I have told you the story of one governor during the military regime. He was governor, and then his mother-in-law died. And people brought cows by trailers for the burial. 2 weeks before his own mother died, there was another coup that replaced him. His own mother died. Nobody brought a goat. You're looking for the kind of love that will endure, the kind of love that will last in the end. That's God's kind of love. And you know what? If you are one of the people that he loves, and I believe so, he will set you up for major and uncommon breakthrough. You know, when I was studying 2 Chronicles chapter 1 from verse 6 to 15, 2 Chronicles 1, 6 to 15, where Solomon offered God 1,000 burnt offerings. And God then visited him in the night and gave him a blank check and said, ask for anything you want. And he asked for wisdom, and God said, I will give you what you ask for. I will add long life. I will add this. I will add that. I said, I still can't understand what's going on here. I'm sure I've shared this with some of you before. Because I know Solomon. The father was an adulterer, the mother was an adulteress, the two of them combined and they killed the husband of the wife. And yet, a boy was born. And God now is beginning to promise him this, all these wonderful things. And God said, well, he did something nobody had done before. That's why I'm giving him things nobody had ever gotten before. And I said, there must be something. And I discovered that it was all a setup. Because in 2 Samuel chapter 12, from verse 24 to 25, 2 Samuel 12, from verse 24 to 25, the Bible says when Solomon was born, God loved him. When God loves you, he sets you up for an uncommon miracle, a breakthrough, and he will do it in such a way nobody can complain. Because he will say, well, this fellow did something nobody else did. That's why I'm doing something for him that I'm not doing for anybody else. And I shared with some of you before the testimony. Years ago, my father in the Lord called all workers together and said, well, my children, we have a great need in the church. Urgent, great need. Next week, we need a certain amount of money. He said, all of you go away. Go and close down your accounts and bring all the money because we need this money urgently. And we all left. And I just told my wife, you heard what Papa said? Yeah, so we went and we closed our accounts. It wasn't much. But that's all we had. And brought the money. The following Sunday, Papa gathered us together again and said, well, thank you, my children. The need had been met, and we all rejoiced. And then he asked the question. He said, how many of you closed your account, like I said? How many of you gave your all? Raise your hand. I raised my hand. My wife raised her hand. And I look around and no other hand was going up. And almost immediately, the devil began to speak to me. You can see now that you have added madness to your religion. And God spoke. I said, no, you are not mad, my son. It's a setup. You have done something nobody else had done, so that nobody will be able to complain when I take you to where I'm taking you to. I pray for someone here tonight. May the Almighty God set you up for a great breakthrough. Yeah. But still talking about his love. Just to show you how wonderful that love is. It is written in Romans chapter 8 verse 37. Romans 8 verse 37. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, glory be to God. Because of his love for us, we are more than conquerors. What exactly does that mean? You can go to war and lose if God is against you, or if God is neutral. If he is not, it's not fighting against you, but it's not fighting for you. You can go to war and win if God is with you. Because when David was going to face Goliath, all that King Saul said was, go, my son, and the Lord be with you. And he won. You fight with God fighting for with you. You win. You're a conqueror. But more than conqueror means you don't even have to do the fighting. God does the fighting for you. You just sit down and victory is yours for doing nothing. I pray for every one of you listening to me today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. From now on, you'll be more than a conqueror. Amen. And then let's talk about the wonders of his mercy. You know, if God wants to boast, he could boast about how rich he is. After all, he says, silver is mine, gold is mine. He can boast about how powerful he is. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I am the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? But when he wanted to talk about his wealth, real wealth, he talks about mercy. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 4 to 6. Ephesians 2, 4 to 6 talks about God who is rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. And why is that mercy wonderful for us? According to Lamentations chapter 3. From verse 22 to 23, Lamentation 3, 22 to 23, it is because of his mercy that we are not consumed. It is because of the mercy of the Almighty God that we are still alive today. But for the mercy of God that some people have been crying to God for Africa in particular, hey, there should be very few of us left alive by now. And I'm praying for every one of you listening to me today. May you continue to enjoy the mercy of God. Amen. This mercy of the Almighty God is in operation in some very interesting cases. Look at Genesis chapter 19. Verse 15 to 16. Genesis 19, 15 to 16. The angels of the Lord had gone to Sodom and Gomorrah. They had stayed in the house of Lot. They had warned him, danger is coming. Get out. Get out. The Bible says he lingered. When they say get out, fire is about to fall. Get out. He lingered. But they said God decided to show him extra mercy. So the angels grabbed him and grabbed his wife, grabbed his children, and dragged them out of destruction. What a merciful God. But when you look at Mark chapter 10, from verse 46 to 52, you will see this mercy in operation again. Mark chapter 10, from verse 46 to 52. It's the story of Bartimaeus, that blind beggar. This man was crying for one thing, mercy, Lord, have mercy on me. The crowd told him to shut up, but the mercy of God waited. Can you imagine the Almighty God waiting for a beggar? He said, Jesus, stood still. Can you imagine the president of a nation going in his convoy, and there's a beggar by the roadside who was shouting, Mr. President, help me. Mr. President, help me. Will the president stop? And yet, the desire of all nations, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Almighty himself, the one who made heaven and earth, waited for a beggar out of his mercy. When you read Mark chapter 1, from verse 40 to 45, Mark 1, 40 to 45, a beggar came to him. I've told you about this before. Knelt down, worshiped him, and said, have mercy on me. Mercy, mercy. He broke all rules. Because the Bible says he had compassion on him and touched him. I said, I will be cleansed. And he was cleansed. And then when you read Matthew chapter 15, how wonderful this love of God can be. Matthew 15 from verse 21 to 28. A woman came to him who is not of the household of Israel. Came to him, knelt down before him and said, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. Out of mercy, he brought the future. Because the future for those who were not children of Israel to receive miracles was yet to come. Their time was yet to come. Their time was to come when Peter went to the house of a Gentile. And if you read the story about Peter going to the house of the Gentile, he was queried when he came back. We heard that we went to the house of a Gentile. And he said, the Spirit of God bade me go. I mean, you can read that in Acts chapter 11, from verse 2 to 18. But the Almighty God, out of mercy, brought the future to the present, even for a Gentile. Oh, the Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 13, James chapter 2, verse 13, that mercy rejoices over judgment. Meaning what? If you want to really, really cry to God, you need God's help desperately. Don't begin to tell him how good you are, what you have done. Don't you know me? I am choir special song leader. I am the original pastor of all pastors. Just ask for mercy. Some of you will remember the testimony of a young man who was a Bible study leader in those days, long ago. this boy knew the Bible. So whenever the general overseer wanted somebody to give a lecture, he will ask this boy to represent him. And this boy, usually they assign him to talk to married couples. And they would go through the Bible, tell you about marriage, about what to do, etc., etc. And one of the things he used to say is that when your wife is pregnant and the day of delivery comes, you bind all demons, you loose all angels, and command the baby to come, and the baby will come. Then he got married, and the wife became pregnant, and the day of delivery came. He bound all the bindables, loose all the loosables, commanded the baby to come. The baby refused to come. First day, second day, third day. On the third day, he ran to the bush behind his house, fell on his face and said, "God, just have mercy on me. Just have mercy on me." Before he got back, the baby had come. May I hear somebody cry to God straight away and say, "God, have mercy on me." And let's talk about the wonders of his glory. The wonders of his glory. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, the Bible says his glory is so intense. He dwells in a light that no man can approach unto. In Acts chapter 22, verse 6, Apostle Paul was reporting what happened to him on the way to Damascus. He said, "A light brighter than the noonday sun shone on him." No wonder he couldn't see for 3 days. In Isaiah chapter 6 from verse 1 to 3, the Bible tells us that even the angels who stood near God, they had to cover their faces with two wings, cover their feet with any part of their body that could have contact with that glory, they covered so that the glory would not destroy them. Oh, my Father in the Lord told us. He said, "Do you know the reason why Jesus Christ said, 'When I finish preparing a place for you, I will come for you'?" He said, "He could have sent angels, but the angels will take you to a certain place and say, 'Sorry, we can't proceed further.'" Because the glory of God is so intense that even angels that say they stand in the presence of God, they are thousands of kilometers away. So if he sent an angel to go and get you, you will get to a certain boundary and they will say, "Well, you have to continue on your own." Only the Son of God can take you into that glory. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 8 from verse 10 to 11, 1 Kings chapter 8 from verse 10 to 11, when the glory of God filled the temple, the priests ran out. They couldn't stand in the presence of that glory. And then, of course, you have this here, jokers, in 1 Samuel chapter 5 from verse 2 to 5. 1 Samuel 5 from verse 2 to 5. They capture the Ark of the Covenant that houses the glory of God, and they took it to the room where they kept their idol. By the time they came the following morning, the idol was flat on his face before the Ark of God. "Hey, what's wrong with you, idol?" They picked him up and set him on his feet again. By the time they returned the following morning, the head of the idol was broken, the hands were broken, the legs were broken. They all said, "And now we can see that power passes power." 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 41. The Bible tells us that there is one glory of the sun. There's one glory of the stars. And then he said, stars differ from stars in glory. But do you know that as glorious as stars are, you can only see them at night. But in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, when he was describing the glory of my Lord, he calls him the bright and morning star. Glory so intense that you can even see it during the morning. You can see him during the daytime. Now, you say, how does this apply to me? Glory is the opposite of shame. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35. Proverbs 3, verse 35. The Bible says, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Wise, glory. Fools, shame. The opposite of wise is fool or foolish, and the opposite of glory is shame. Now, Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Remember, I've told you, as big as he is, he's dwelling in you. So for you, glory is already in you, dwelling there. Meaning what? Anything that can cause shame, by the glory of God alone, will be kept far from you. I'll just share one testimony, or just remind you, because some of you have heard it before. We were having a program at Ebute Metta several years ago, and some very, very important personalities were present. Suddenly the word of God came. If I don't know his voice, it would have been difficult for me to even announce it. Because God said, there is somebody there that is a rich man, he can afford anything, and after he has finished eating from his dining table, he will not be satisfied until he goes back later on to go and eat from the dustbin. He finished the food. They've thrown away the remnant. And when nobody is looking, he will go back to the dustbin to eat. I said, the Almighty God wants to set whoever that person is free. I couldn't even ask the fellow to come forward, because I know that will be great shame. So I said, I'll be waiting in my office. I don't need to tell you who the fellow is. I don't need to tell you the kind of position he's holding in society. But he came. And the first thing he said was, without doubt, God is in this place. How do you share that kind of secret? Who will you tell? Who will you tell? And I'm talking of a man who was a legal luminary, a very important man in society. He said, there's nobody who knows this secret. God must be here. Now that God is here tonight. And he's going to get rid of anything causing shame in your life. Amen. Then let's talk about the wonders of his name. I'm sure you yourself know how wonderful his name is. When you talk about the wonders of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are so many things. Number one, the names are many. You know, there are some people in certain part of the world, when you begin to read their names, one thing will follow another and follow another. But nobody has as many names as Jesus Christ. Like the text we read at the beginning. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You jump from there to Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Alpha, Omega, beginning, ending, the one who was, the one who is, the one who is to come. Many names. Just to mention a few. But do you know that every one of his name was meaningful? Every one of the name is meaningful. For example, in John 14 verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, we could spend 1 hour considering the fact that he says, I am the way. What do you mean by that? I'm the way out of trouble. I'm the way out of lockdown. I'm the way out of sickness. I'm the way out of sorrow. I'm the way out of barrenness. I'm the way out of poverty. I'm the way out of failure. I'm the way out of defeat. But not only is he the way out of all this problem, it's also the way into. The way into joy, the way into peace, the way into success, the way into promotion, the way into everything beautiful, including the way to heaven. It's also the way where there's no way. When he got to the tomb of Lazarus, the sister said, too late. He said, hey, that's your own idea. I am the way where they say there is no way. And then he says, I am the truth. I mean, I can continue to talk about him being the way, but we need to go to the other names. The truth. You know what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, he said, you cannot do anything against the truth, but for the truth. If you know how long people have struggled to erase the name of Jesus Christ from the world, and they have failed, you will know that being the truth makes him irresistible. And the fact that it's the truth, you know, guarantees your freedom. John chapter 8, verse 32. John 8, 32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he went on to say in John chapter 8, verse 36, John 8, 36, whomsoever the Son shall set free shall be free indeed. When the truth sets you free, you are free indeed. When I hear some mighty preachers talking about the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they present the matter as if the dispensation of grace, and I thank God for the dispensation of grace. By grace we are saved. I am what I am today by the grace of God. We all appreciate grace. We all appreciate the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how wonderful. But you know what the Bible says? In John chapter 1 verse 14. John 1 verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Do you know 2 plus 2 is 4 in the Old Testament? What is 2 plus 2 now? It is still 4. be holy in the Old Testament, for I am holy, is still true in the New. Be holy, for I am holy. No matter what you try, the truth will always remain the truth. Oh, thank God he saved us by grace from our sins. But everyone who enjoys the grace of God must remember, you are saved, so to be holy, that he will always say, go and sin no more. And then he went on to say, I am the truth, I am the life. In John 11 verse 25, John 11 verse 25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Believe me honestly, there's nobody too dead that Jesus cannot raise. Because he is the life. That's why he can give resurrection to your eyes. No matter how dead the doctors say they are. I trust my God. That's why he can give resurrection to your legs, to your hands, to your wombs. And even to your business. Because he is the resurrection and the life. And that name, not only are his names, many's names are me. Each one is powerful. You know, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11, Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11, that at the name of Jesus, all knees should bow. Powerful name. And in John chapter 14, verse 14, John 14, verse 14, he said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know, when you find yourself under sudden attack, and there's nothing else you can do, at least you can shout the name Jesus. Wonderful name. Some of you will remember my testimony, which was shared with you by my driver of those days. That one day we were going to Ilorin. That was several years ago, I think 1981. And in those days, there was this very narrow bridge between Ogbomosho and Ilorin. Anyway, somewhere along the road, so narrow that only one vehicle at a time could pass. So if you get there and you find another vehicle coming from the other side, you stop. Because if the bridge was so narrow, it cannot take two vehicles at the same time. And we were going. We were already on the bridge. I mean, the bridge was over a very deep river. And then a trailer was coming from Ilorin. Whether the driver didn't see us or his brake failed, I never found out. But he just kept on coming. And we had a choice. Either die by head-on collision or go into the river and drown. The river was deep. There was no time to... We couldn't even think of anything. Both my driver and I shouted, Jesus. And when you are in real trouble, you don't call the name gently. Somehow, we met at the middle of the bridge and we passed. And the trailer had taken every bit of the bridge and yet we passed. How? I don't know. When we got to the other side of the bridge, we were so badly shaken. My driver parked. I didn't ask him to park, but he couldn't continue driving. He parked. And he was shaking like a banana leaf. Fortunately, he didn't look back because I was shaking more than he was shaking. After some time, by the time he spoke, I had calmed down. And he said, "Daddy, what happened?" I said, "God expanded the bridge." And he kept on saying, "Wonderful. Wonderful." See, we got to Elon. He kept on saying, "Wonderful." I said, "That's his name." Is there anybody listening to me today who needs a miracle urgently? Let me hear you shout, "Jesus!"
Jesus!
And then let's talk about the wonder of his blood. The wonder of his blood. In Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, the Bible tells us that the life of the animal is in his blood. So the life of Jesus Christ is in his blood. That powerful blood that according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, saves, cleanses from all sins. That blood that has been cleansing from sins for more than 2,000 years now, and that blood is still powerful. It hasn't lost its power. But what about the what are the wonders of this blood? Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13 talks about the night that the angel of death visited Egypt. And God told Moses, "When I see the blood, the angel of death will pass over you." That's why you don't have to worry yourself. You don't have to be afraid. Coronavirus is not coming to your house.
Amen.
Because the blood of Jesus Christ is already at the door. It guarantees your security. Not only that, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, Hebrews 10, verse 19 tells you that that blood grants you access to the holiest. There are many, many friends you have. How many of them do you take to your bedroom? There are friends that you receive at the reception. There are friends that you receive at your private sitting room. There are friends you can even allow to come to your study. How many friends do you take to your bedroom? There is a place called the Holy of Holies that only the high priest can go into once a year. And when he goes in there, if he makes a mistake, he will fall down dead there. So when the high priest is going to the Holy of Holies, they tie a rope around his leg with some bells ringing around his dress. If the people outside don't hear this ring, I mean the twinkling of the bells, they will know he had died, and they will use the rope to drag him out. Because only the high priest can go in. It's called the holiest. And the Bible says, by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can now go into the holiest. We have access to the city, to the bedroom of the Most High God. But just one more wonder about that blood. According to Revelation chapter 12, from verse 10 to 11. Revelation 12, from verse 10 to 11. That blood guarantees your victory over Satan. He said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. What a powerful, what a wonderful blood that is. Oh, I could tell you several testimonies to demonstrate the power of the blood. Just one will do. Quite a funny one. Several years ago, one of our very young pastors went to one of the towns in Ekiti State. And he found a room in a house next to the chief herbalist of the town. He didn't know who was living next door. He was just doing his own job. And he was quite a powerful young man, prayerful, etc., etc. And so a lot of people who used to come to the herbalist who are now coming to this young pastor. And the young pastor and the herbalist saw that he was losing customers. So he decided that the only way to solve this problem is get rid of the pastor. In a very neat way, you know. Very neat, satanic way. So one day, the pastor went to church with his door locked, windows closed. By the time he came back, right there inside his room was a hen over some eggs, sitting over, you know, brooding over some eggs. Now, the African elders, they know what that one means. They know what that one means. You open your door that was locked, windows closed, and then you come in, and the hen is there brooding over eggs. You run out. Because if you try to pick up the hen, your back will break. You try to kick the hen out, whatever you try, if you don't run out, you are dead. And so this young man came in, and this is where it's funny. He saw the hen, and saw the egg. Ah, I said, Lord, I thank you. You know, I have no money to buy eggs, and I've not eaten chicken for a long time. And you provided in this way. Lord, I thank you. He said, egg, I cover you in the blood of the Lamb. Welcome to my dining table. So he killed the hen and prepared a nice meal. The following morning, he had egg for breakfast. Oh, when the herbalist waited for a shout of agony or somebody weeping because they found the pastor there. In fact, he looked out of the window and saw the pastor going to church. He surrendered his life to Jesus. Hallelujah. Because suddenly he understood, power passes power. May that blood speak for you today. You know, when I share this testimony, I think was it in London, and all the white people there were looking at me with their mouth wide open. I said, I know by now you must be saying, oh, there must be a lot of demons in Africa. I said, oh yes, sir, a lot of demons. But there are demons here too. I said, the only difference between the demons in Africa and the demons in your country is that our own demons didn't go to school. And they are illiterate demons, and they are so easy to deal with because they are easy to recognize. You see a madman coming in Nigeria, somebody walking naked across the other, coming towards you, you quickly cross to the other side because you know something is wrong here. I said, but your own demons, they wear three-piece suits. They ride in Rolls Royce. oh, glory be to God. Let me begin to round up as we consider the wonders. Number 7. And that is the wonders of his anger. It doesn't matter what anybody may tell you. My God is not Father Christmas. Oh, yes, He's love. And His love is wonderful. But according to Hebrews chapter 12 verse 6, Hebrews 12 verse 6, the Bible says, whomsoever He loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. So He loves you. You are special to Him. Be careful. Don't toy with Him. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, I'm quoting from the New Testament. Hebrews is in the New Testament. Revelation is in the New Testament. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19 says, as many as I love, God speaking, I rebuke and chasten. So He said, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Don't mess with God. Oh! If God loves you, He will not leave you on your own. He won't allow you to go ahead and be doing whatever you want. Because it is written in Proverbs 29 verse 15, Proverbs 29 verse 15, a child left to himself will bring shame. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 29, Hebrews 12 verse 29 made it clear, yes, God is love, but He's also the consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 31. Hebrews 10 verse 31 says it's a very dangerous thing to fall into the hand of the living God. Be careful. Don't joke with Him. Don't toy with sin. He's a holy God. When the angels were crying, they were crying, holy, holy, holy. Holy God the Father, holy God the Son, holy God the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 29 verse 1, Proverbs 29 verse 1, he says, the one who is often reproved, who hardeneth his neck, will be destroyed suddenly. And that will be without any form of repentance or reconstruction. Oh yes, God loves sinners. Believe me honestly, He has no pleasure in the death of a sinner. Ezekiel chapter 33 verse 11. Ezekiel 3 verse 11 says, I have no pleasure in the death of a sinner. Why should you die? Please, my beloved, don't let anybody deceive you. When they say God can never be angry, He's too full of love, He's too full of mercy, He's kind, He's good. The Bible says in Psalm 7 verse 11, Psalm 7 verse 11, God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day. And when He decides to show His anger, He does it in a very wonderful way. When He was angry with Sodom and Gomorrah, He rained down fire from heaven. After warning and warning and warning, after doing everything He could to bring out Lot and his family, He warned them, don't look back. While Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. When Korah, Dathan, and Abiram conspired against Moses, and God got angry. They were swallowed alive. The ground just opened and swallowed them. Oh, no, no. Don't let anybody deceive you. God can be angry. Oh, that is in the Old Testament. Hey, read Acts chapter 5. From verse 1 to 11. Acts 5 from verse 1 to 11. A man sold his property and decided to bring the money to the apostles. But he kept part of it behind. God wasn't angry because he kept part of it behind. It was that he lied. Is this how much you sold the land for? He said yes. Ah. And God got angry and killed him. The wife came because they plotted the thing together. Hey, woman, is this how much you sold the land for? She said yes. Don't toy with God. Those who came late to church that day, by the time they came, they saw the young man carrying out first the husband, then the wife. Oh, there's one prayer I always pray. Anytime they say, ask for one thing. That's my secret, I'm telling you now. I'm not asking for money. I'm not asking for clothes. I know my God is more than sufficient. Only one prayer I pray. God, don't let me ever annoy you. And he has proved to me, the more he loves you, the more you must be careful. I told you the story before. And with this, I'm closing. We had a campground in Ekwe, and we wanted to build two toilets, one for male, one for female. And we hired Saville to be the contractor. And we told him we wanted 60 feet by 30 feet and so on. And we got there. And he began to measure the ground. And instead of measuring feet, he began to measure in meters. And God spoke to me and said, correct him. And I said, no, Lord. He said, Saville, if he doesn't know the difference between feet and meters, let him pay the price. Maybe he charged me for meters anyway. We left the first place. We went to the second place. He was measuring again in meters. And again God said to me, son, correct him. And I said, if he doesn't know the difference between, I don't know which school he went to. And God kept quiet. So again he measured in meters. And then there was one of his laborers, a very strong Hausa man, was a pit digger. As we turned to leave the second place, that strong man smiled at me. I said, Megida, I stretched forth his hand. And I smiled back and I stretched forth my hand to shake his hand. And he grabbed my hand and began to squeeze. And I'm telling you, because of the nature of his work, his hand was like iron. And he began to squeeze my hand. I mean, it was as if he wanted to break my bones. Ah, Lord, What's happening? And God spoke to me again. I said, I told you to correct him. Sorry, Lord, I will. And the man released my hand. And my hand was burning like fire. I corrected his obvious, and he said, thank you very much. On my way to my car, I was grumbling. Oh. When David said, your praise shall continually be in my mouth. That moment, it wasn't praise in my mouth. It was murmuring. God, the punishment is too much compared to my offense. He spoke to me and said, son, I've told you you are special to me. Be careful. Don't say I didn't tell you, my children. I don't know which convention will be the last one. The Lord may return before we have another convention. I don't know when Jesus will return. But if any of you fails to make it to heaven, it will not be because I didn't tell you the whole truth. God can be wonderfully angry. Watch your step. Those of you who are playing games with the Most High God, the all-seeing God, the God who knows all things, watch it. And those of you who have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, please remember, God is angry with the wicked every day. You don't want to confront the Almighty God. Your life is in his hand. He can decide at what minute you breathe your last. But if you surrender your life to him today, his mercy is still there. His blood is still as powerful as before. He can still save your soul and give you a brand new beginning. If you're a backslider, you can still return to him and he will welcome you back. So if you want to give your life to Jesus, or you're a backslider and you want to return back to the Almighty God, please bow your heads wherever you are and cry unto him, Lord, please save my soul. I promise you, I will serve you for the rest of my life. And if you are a backslider, cry to him and say, Lord, please restore me. I want to come into fellowship with you again. And please let the rest of us pray for these people. Pray for the salvation of those who are asking God to save their souls. And pray for the restoration of those who are backsliding. Pray for the restoration of all those who have been toying with sin, who have made up their mind that no more. Let's pray for them for just 1 minute. God, save the sinners, restore the backsliders, and take all the glory for it. Oh, thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. My Father and my God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for the wonders of your word. I want to thank you for all the people who have chosen to surrender their lives to you today. Please, Lord, save their souls. Forgive all their sins. Let that your powerful blood wash away all their sins. Give them a brand new beginning, Father. Receive them into the family of God. And every backslider, all those who have been toying with sins among your children, who are saying, no, Lord, no more. I'm coming back home now. Receive me. Father, please receive them all. And don't let them backslide again. And Lord God Almighty, later on, your children will be coming before you presenting their prayers in your own wonderful way in the life of everybody who will call on you tonight. Perform your wonders. Answer every prayer by fire. And let your name forever be glorified. Thank you, my Father. Thank you for this wonderful convention. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to write down your prayer points now. There are quite a few of them. Number one, of course, you want to praise him from the bottom of your heart for this unique convention. Praise him for making it possible for you to even be in your home and still be able to be blessed by his word. Prayer point number two, you will say, Father, let your greatness begin to manifest through me mightily. You know, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Father, let your greatness begin to manifest through me mightily. Number three, you say, Father, like you did for Solomon, let your love for me set me up. Let your love for me set me up for uncommon breakthroughs. Let your love set me up for uncommon breakthroughs. Number four, Father, just have mercy on me, my family, your church, and my nation. Just have mercy on us and put an end to this virus. Just out of your mercy. Number five, Father, let your glory flood my body . Let your glory flood my body, my soul, my spirit, and my life. Let your glory flood my body, my soul, my spirit, and my life. Remove everything that can cause shame far from me and my family. Remove everything that can cause shame far from me and my family. Number six, Father, In the name of Jesus, every knee against me must bow tonight. Every knee against me must bow tonight. Number 7. Father, let the blood of Jesus speak for me. Let the blood of Jesus speak for me. And give me victory over all forces of darkness. Let the blood of Jesus speak for me. And give me victory over all forces of darkness. Number 8. Father, don't let me ever know your anger. Father, don't let me ever know your anger. Number 9. Father, please grant the requests of all my neighbors. Please grant the requests of all my neighbors. Number 10. Father, make me a great vessel unto honor in your hands. Please make me a great vessel of honor in your hands. Number 11. Father, please use me to perform wonders for you. Please use me to perform wonders for you. Number 12. That will be your own personal requests. And include in your personal request a prayer for me too. All right, now I'm going to read to you the prophecies that God has given me concerning you and I in this very special convention. I think there will be about 2 of them that are for me that I will share with you. Number 1. The Almighty God says, as a result of this convention, I will increase laughter in many of your homes. Amen. I will increase laughter in many of your homes. Then he says, quite a few businesses will not survive the lockdown. But yours will emerge stronger. Then he says, before this lockdown is over, the siege on your destiny will be gone. Amen. And I believe this, the next one is probably for ministers, but of course, you too can become a minister of God because you will be busy for God from now on. He says, you will begin to see traces of your father's anointing in your ministrations. Then he says, the doors of opportunities that running up and down didn't allow you to see will be manifest to you during this lockdown. Doors of opportunities that running up and down didn't allow you to see will become manifest now. Now he said this one is for someone in particular. He said, you are already great, but you will become much greater. Then he said, this one that the fellow concerned will understand. He said, someone promised to fight you to the end. He asked me to tell you, that's no problem, because at the end, you will win. Now the next one, this is mine, but I will share with you. He said there is a particular family. He said every member of the family will receive a miracle during this convention. Amen. And this last one, which is also for me, I believe, which I will share with you. So by the time this convention is over, the word wonderful will be coming out of your mouth day and night. Amen. That's what he asked me to tell you. Now, before I get out of your way, and I hope you really, really thank God after your prayers, or maybe before your prayers, so that you have plenty of time to pray. And since you are not going anywhere, if I were you, I would probably spend all night talking to God, because it is a night to be remembered. I'm sure you know God is everywhere. So it's right there in your living room. And he's asked me to pronounce a blessing on your handkerchiefs. And that the handkerchief for this year is going to be a very special one for you, because it's a unique convention, and everything connected with it will be unique. My Father, my God, I want to bless your holy name. I want to thank you very, very much for this wonderful, wonderful convention. Thank you for your word that has gone forth today. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I'm asking, Lord, that you saturate every piece of cloth that has been lifted up to you now. Amen. With very special anointing. Amen. So that yokes will be destroyed.
Amen.
Miracles will happen.
Amen.
And your name alone will be glorified.
Amen.
Thank you, my Father and my God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
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 And as I used to tell you, first and foremost, even if it's only for 1 minute, put that piece of cloth on your own self and pray for yourself, prophesy to yourself. Pray that the wonders of the Almighty God will become manifest in your life like never before. That you begin to experience the wonder of His size, the wonder of His love, the wonders of His mercy, the wonders of His glory, the wonders of His name, the wonders of His blood. That from now on, wonders will begin to happen in your life. Beautiful wonders, glorious wonders. That the word wonderful will be coming out of your mouth day and night from now on till we see Jesus Christ in glory. That you will begin to praise Him wonderfully. You begin to share wonderful testimonies. You begin to win souls wonderfully. That His church will begin to grow mightily, wonderfully, multiply wonderfully. That all needs, your needs, your family needs, the needs of the church will be wonderfully met like never before. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. I shout a wonderful hallelujah.